Now, suppose you have all five jhanas and also all arupa vajra jhanas, and also you can experience what we call supernormal knowledge or abhinya. Abhinya is especially developed fifth jhana. And abhinyas are those that enable yogis to see things far away and to hear sounds far away and so on, or to perform some miracles. Now, suppose you want to want to hear the sounds far away. Now, suppose you have all five jhanas and also all arupa vajra jhanas, and also you can experience what we call supernormal knowledge or abhinya. Abhinya is especially developed fifth jhana. And abhinyas are those that enable yogis to see things far away and to hear sounds far away and so on, or to perform some miracles. Now, suppose you want to want to hear the sounds far away, and it depends on how large you extend the kasina sign. If you extend the kasina sign as big as San Francisco City, then you may hear sounds in San Francisco City and not outside. So the ten kasinas among these 40 meditation subjects need be extended, for it is within just so much space as one is intent upon. That means one covers, one extends over with the kasina, that one can hear sounds with the divine ear elements, see visible objects with the divine eye, and know the minds of other beings with the mind. So before you experience the supernormal knowledge, you have to practice, you have to extend the sign, the counterpart sign. That means you are defining and the area within which supernormal knowledge will apply. So they need be extended. Mindfulness occupied with the body and the 10 kinds of foulness need not be extended. So these subjects need not be extended. Why? Because they have a definite location. You have to define these things, and so you cannot extend them, and if you extend them, there is no benefit, because there is no benefit in it. The definiteness of their location will become clear in explaining the method of development. Now, when the author comes to explaining how to practice meditation on dead bodies and so on, and it will become clear. If the latter are extended, it is only a quantity of corpses that is extended with regard to foulness meditation. You can extend the corpses, I mean in your mind, corpses, but there is no benefit. And it is said, in answer to the question of Sopaka, perception of visible forms is quite clear, blessed one. Perception of bones is not clear. For here the perception of visible form is called quite clear in the sense of extension of the sign. When the perception of bones is called not quite clear, perception of bones has to do with foulness meditation. In the sense, it's non-extension. But the words, I was intent upon this whole earth with the perception of a skeleton, that was uttered by one elder. Now, they are said in the manner of appearance to one who has acquired that perception. That means one who has acquired that perception before, and now he extends this perception. So it is all right, because he is not practicing to get that perception. He has already got that perception, and so he extends it. For just as in Dhammasoka's time, the Karavika bird uttered a sweet song when it saw its own reflection in the looking glass walls all round and perceived Karavika in every direction, so the elder, Singhalapita thought when he saw the sign appearing in all directions through his acquisition of perception of his skeleton, that the whole earth was covered with bones. And then there is the footnote on Karavika bird. It's interesting, but it's difficult to believe. It's a kind of bird, and it is said that its sound is very sweet. And so King asked, the queen asked the community, whose voice or whose sound is the sweetest, and the community said, the Karavika birds. So the queen wanted to listen to the sound of the Karavika bird, and so she asked her King Asoka, to bring a Karavika bird. So what Asoka did was just send a cage. The cage flew through the air and they lay down near the bird, and the bird got in the cage, and the cage flew back to the city and so on. But after reaching the city, he would not utter a sound because he was depressed. So the king asked why the bird did not make any sound. So they said because he was lonely. If the bird had companions, then he would make noise. So the king put the mirrors around him, and so the bird saw his images in the mirror, and he saw they were other birds. So he was happy, and so he made no sound. And the queen, when she heard the sound, she was so pleased, and she was very happy, and dwelling on that happiness, or practicing meditation on that happiness, she practiced vipassana, and she became a stream winner, established in the fruition of stream entry. That means she became a sotapanna. This is just an example. Just as the Karavika bird saw many other birds in the mirror and so make sound, the elder here, when he saw the sign appearing in all directions through his acquisition of the perception of a skeleton, he thought the whole earth was covered with bones. So it appeared to him as that. It is not that he extended the Kasina sign. And then next paragraph. If that is so, then is what is called the measurelessness of the object of jhana produced on foulness contradicted? Now, the jhana produced on foulness is mentioned as measureless, or it is mentioned as with measure. So is that contradicted? Then the answer is no. When a person looks at the small corpse, then his object is said to be with measure. And if he looks at a big corpse, then his object is said to be measureless, although it is not really measureless, but measureless here means large. So the large object and small object. And then paragraph 115. As regards the immaterial states as objects, it should read, as regards objects of the immaterial states. Not immaterial states as objects, but objects of the immaterial states. Space need not be extended, since it is the mere removal of the kasina. So with regard to the objects of Arupa Vajrajana. Now, the object of the first Arupa Vajrajana is what? Infinite space. So that cannot be extended, because it is nothing. It is obtained through the removal of kasina. And removal of kasina means not paying attention to the kasina sign. First, there is kasina sign in his mind, and then he stops paying attention to that kasina sign. So the kasina sign disappears, and in the place of that kasina sign, just the space remains. So that space is space. So that cannot be extended. If he extends it, nothing further happens. So nothing will happen. And consciousness need not be extended. Actually, consciousness should not be or could not be extended since it is a state consisting in an individual essence. That means it is a paramatta. It is an ultimate reality, a reality which has its own characteristic or individual essence. Only the concept can be extended, not the real, the ultimate reality. Ultimate reality is just ultimate reality, and it does not lend itself to being extended. So this consciousness, or the first consciousness, cannot the first Arupa Vajra consciousness cannot be extended. And the disappearance of consciousness need not be extended, because actually it is concept and it is non-existent. So what is non-existent cannot be extended. And then the last one, the being consisting of neither perception nor non-perception. Here also the object of the being consisting of neither perception nor non-perception need not be extended, since it too is a state consisting in an individual essence. Now, do you remember the object of the fourth Arupa Vajra Jhana? The object of the fourth Arupa Vajra Jhana is the third Arupa Vajra consciousness. So the third Arupa Vajra consciousness is again the ultimate reality, having its own individual essence. So it cannot be extended because it is not a concept. So they cannot be extended. So this is as to whether they can be extended or not. And then as to the object, paragraph 117, of these 40 meditation subjects, 22 have counterpart sign as object. Now, on the chart, under the column Nimitta, counterpart sign, PT means counterpart sign. So, it says 22 have counterpart signs. 10 kasinas, 10 asubhas or foulness meditation, and these two. Counterpart sign, that is to say the 10 kasinas, the 10 kinds of foulness, mindfulness of breathing, and mindfulness occupied with the body. The rest do not have counterpart signs as object. Then 12 have states consisting in individual essence as object. That is to say, 8 of the 10 recollections, except mindfulness of breathing and mindfulness occupied with the body, the perception of repulsiveness and nutriment, the defining of the four elements, the base consisting of boundless consciousness and the base consisting of neither perception nor non-perception. So they have the ultimate reality as object. And the 22 have counterpart signs as object, that is to say the 10 kasinas, the 10 kinds of foulness, mindfulness of breathing and mindfulness occupied with the body, while the remaining 6 have not so classifiable objects. So these are the description of the objects of meditation in different ways. And the 8 have mobile objects in the early stage through the counterpart, though the counterpart is stationary. That is to say, the festering, the bleeding, the warm fasted, mindfulness of breathing, and the water kasina, the fire kasina, the air kasina, and in the case of light kasina, the object consisting of a circle of sunlight, etc. So they are shaking objects. They can be shaking objects. The rest have mobile objects. Now, they have shaking objects only in the preliminary stage. But when the yogi reaches the counterpart sign stage, then they are stationary. So it is only in the preliminary stage that they have shaking objects or mobile objects. And as to the plane, that means as to the different 31 planes of existence, 12, namely the 10 kinds of foulness, mindfulness occupied with the body, and perception of repulsiveness in nutriment, do not occur among deities.
Does that mean that in the fourth jhana the breathing stops?
That's right. Yes. You got the point. Okay. Yes. We come to that in the description of the breathing meditation. So that's right. And then as to apprehending, that means as to taking the object by sight, by hearing, by seeing, and so on. So here, according to sight, touch, and hearsay. Hearsay means just hearing something. And these 19, that is to say, 9 kasinas omitting the air kasina, and the 10 kinds of foulness must be apprehended by sight. So that means you look at something and practice meditation. The meaning is that in the early stage, the sign must be apprehended by constantly looking with the eye. In the case of mindfulness occupied with the body, the 5 parts ending with skin must be apprehended by sight, and the rest by hearsay. Head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin. These you look at with your eyes and practice meditation on them. And the others, some you cannot see, like liver, intestines and other things, so that you practice through hearsay. Mindfulness of breathing must be apprehended by touch. So when you practice mindfulness meditation, you keep your mind here and be mindful of the sensation of touch here. The air going in and out of the nostrils. The air kasina by sight and touch, it will become clearer when we come to the description of how to practice air kasina. Sometimes you look at something moving, say branches of tree or a banner in the wind, and you practice air kasina on that. But sometimes the wind is blowing against your body and you have the feeling of a touch here, and so you concentrate on this and concentrate on the wind air element here, and so in that case you practice by the sense of touch. The remaining 18 by hearsay. That means just by hearing. The divine abiding of equanimity and the 4 immaterial states are not apprehendable by a beginner. So you cannot practice upekkha and the 4 arupa vajra jhanas at the beginning, because in order to get arupa vajra jhanas, you must have got the 5 rupa vajra jhanas. And in order to practice real upekkha brahma vihara, then you have to have practiced the first 3, loving kindness, compassion, and sympathetic joy. So as a real divine abiding, equanimity cannot be practiced at the beginning. Only after you have practiced the other 3 can you practice equanimity. And then as to condition, the 10 kasinas, 9 kasinas, omitting the space kasina, are conditions for immaterial states. That means if you want to get arupa vajra jhanas, and you practice one of the 9 kasinas, omitting the space kasina, because you have to practice the removing of the kasina object and get the space. So space cannot be removed, space is space. So space kasina is exempted from those that are conditions for immaterial states or arupa vajra jhanas. The 10 kasinas are conditions for the kinds of direct knowledge. So, if you want to get the direct knowledge or abhinya, That means supernormal power. Then you practice first one of the 10 kasinas. And actually, if you want to get different results, then you practice different kasinas. You know, if you want to shake something, suppose you want to shake the city hall building by your supernormal power, then first you must practice water kasina or air kasina, but not the earth kasina. If you practice earth kasina and try to shake it, it will not shake. There is a story of a novice who went up to heaven, I mean the abode of God, and he said, I will shake your mansion. And he tried to shake it and he could not. So the celestial nymphs make fun of him. And so he was ashamed and he went back to his teacher. And he told his teacher that he was ashamed by the nymphs because he could not shake their mansion. And he asked his teacher why. So his teacher said, look at something there. So a cow dung was floating in the river. So he got the hint. And so next time he went back to the celestial abode, and this time he practiced water kasina first, and then made the mansion shake. So according to what you want from the kasinas, you have to practice different kinds of kasinas, and they are mentioned in the later chapters. So the 10 kasinas are conditions for the kinds of direct knowledge. 3 divine abidings are conditions for the 4th divine abiding. So the 4th divine abiding cannot be practiced at the beginning, but only after the first 3. Each lower immaterial state is a condition for each higher one. The base consisting of neither perception nor non-perception is a condition for the attainment of cessation. That means cessation of mental activities, cessation of perception and feeling. Actually, cessation of mental activities. All are conditions for living in bliss. That means living in bliss in this very life, for insight, and for the fortunate kinds of becoming. That means for a good life in the future. As to suitability to temperament, and they are important. Here the exposition should be understood according to what is suitable to the temperament. And then it describes which subjects of meditation are suitable for which kind of temperament.
Can I ask a question? You said 3 divine abidings are conditions for the 4th.
Yes.
Does that mean that you can study the 3rd, or practice the 3rd before the 1st, or practice the 2nd before the 1st? Because it doesn't say that you have to practice all of them before.
Right. But the normal procedure is to practice the loving kindness first, and then practice the 2nd one and the 3rd one. And this means you practice so that you get jhana from this practice. If you do not get to the stage of jhana, then even equanimity you can practice. But here it is meant for jhana. Because the equanimity leads to the 5th jhana. So in order to get the 5th jhana, you need to have the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th jhana. And those can be obtained through the practice of the lower 3, or the other 3 divine abidings.
But you don't reach jhana from the other 3?
You reach jhana, but not to the 5th jhana. You reach to the 4th jhana only. And by the practice of equanimity, you reach the 5th jhana. And now, the different kinds of meditation suitable for different types of temperaments. And all this has been stated in the form of direct opposition and complete suitability. That means if he says this meditation is suitable for this temperament, it means that this meditation is the direct opposite of that temperament, and it is very suitable for it. But it does not mean that you cannot practice other meditation. So, but there is actually no profitable development that does not suppress greed, etc., and help faith and so on. So, in fact, you can practice any meditation. But here, the meditations, subjects of meditation and temperaments are given to show that they are the direct opposite of the temperaments, and they are the most suitable. Suppose I am of deluded temperament, then the most suitable meditation for me is breathing meditation. But that does not mean that I cannot practice any other meditation, because any meditation will help me to suppress mental defilements and to develop wholesome mental states. Even in the suttas, Buddha was advising Rahula and other persons to practice different kinds of meditation, not only one meditation, but different kinds of meditation to one and only person. So any meditation can be practiced by anyone. But if you want to get the best out of it, then you choose the one which is most suitable for your temperament.
All kasinas as object imply seeing consciousness before a right thought process?
Yes.
Only?
Kasinas should be practiced first by looking at them. So when you look at them, then you have the seeing consciousness. And then you try to memorize, or you try to take it into your mind. That means you close your eyes and try to take that off the image. So when you can get the image clearly in your mind, then you are said to get the what sign? Learning, they call learning sign. Actually, the grasp sign. And after you get the learning sign, and you no longer need the actual disc, actual object, but you develop, you dwell on the sign you get in your mind. So at that moment, at that time on, it is not seeing consciousness, but the other manodwara, I mean, through mind door, not through eye door. So first through eye door, you look at the kasina and practice meditation. And after you get the learning sign, then your meditation is through mind door. You see through mind, but not through the eye. And then dedicating oneself to the Blessed One or to the teacher. That means giving or relinquishing oneself. And to the Blessed One or to the Buddha, it's all right. But to the teacher, I do not recommend. Because not all teachers are to be trusted. Considering what's happening these days. So on page 119, said, when he dedicates himself to a teacher, I relinquish this my person to you. So I give myself up to you. It may be dangerous if a teacher has what do you call it, ulterior motives. So it is better to give yourself to the Buddha not to the teacher these days. Okay. And then sincere inclination and resolution, I think they are not so difficult. Now, in paragraph 128, about four lines, for it is one of such sincere inclination which arrives at one of the three kinds of enlightenment. That means enlightenment as a Buddha, enlightenment as a Paccika Buddha, and enlightenment as an Arahant. So these are three kinds of enlightenment. And then six kinds of inclination lead to the maturing of the enlightenment of the Bodhisattvas. This may be something like a parameters found in Mahayana. Is non-greed, non-delusion, and so on. These are the six inclinations. I mean, six qualities which Bodhisattvas especially develop. So with the inclination to non-greed, Bodhisattvas see the fruit, see the fault in greed. With the inclination to non-hate, Bodhisattvas see the fault in hate, and so on. They are not found, although it is a quotation, we cannot trace this quotation to any text available nowadays. So some text may have been lost, or it may refer to some sutras not belonging to Theravada. And then the last, paragraph 132, apprehend the sign. Now, in Pali, the word nimitta is used in different meanings. So here, apprehend the sign means just paying close attention to what you hear from the teacher. So this is the preceding clause, this is the subsequent clause, this is the meaning, this is the intention, this is the simile, and so on. So paying close attention and trying to understand, first hear the words of the teacher, and then trying to understand it is called here apprehending the sign. So it is not like apprehending the sign when you practice meditation. So apprehending of sign will come later in chapter 4. So here apprehending the sign means just paying close attention to what the teacher said. So this is preceding clause, this is subsequent clause, this is its meaning, and so on. When he listens attentively, apprehending the sign in this way, his meditation subject is well apprehended. So he knows what he should know about meditation. And because of that, he successfully attains distinction. Attains distinction means attains jhanas, attains supernormal knowledge, and attains enlightenment. But not others, not otherwise, but not others. He will successfully attain distinction, but not others who do not listen attentively and apprehend the sign, and so on. So otherwise should be corrected to others, not otherwise, on page 121, first line. He successfully attains distinction, but not others, on this page here. That is the end of third chapter. So we are still preparing. Preparing is not over yet. You have to avoid 18 faulty monasteries and all these things and find a suitable place for meditation.
It's interesting about the paramitas. It almost works. It works for four of them. I mean, the other two, it's a little bit of a stretch, but
yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. Thank you very much. We're going to continue in March. Sometime in March we'll do another 12 weeks, and that will go from, we hope, from chapter 4
to chapter 8.
Through chapter 8.
Through chapter 8, yes.